Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Five, 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 1.
Week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallcast podcast. This podcast is designed for the small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. This week, we are a little excited. We have Dennis here. Dennis.
That's weird. Hello on TV land.
You don't look at the camera. That's really weird. Just imagine it's not there. This is our first smallest cast podcast that we're going to be doing video podcasting.
Would you call it TV cast?
I said video cast.
Video cast. Video cast podcast.
Vidcast.
Vidcast.
Yeah. Okay. We're up in the ante on our tech.
Here we go. Up in the ante. We got lights. We got cameras. I don't know if
we had
Greg.
We had Greg,
not,
our
though.
Producer, here earlier. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Yeah, he should have been in. We need to pay him to do that.
Yeah.
Cup of coffee.
Fun. Yeah.
Okay. So we have somebody here with us.
We do.
You want to introduce?
Alan Bridges.
Alan Bridges with whom?
Alan Bridges with Penica.
Penica.
Yes.
Welcome, Alan.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Nate.
Okay.
And Dennis.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What is Penica?
Penica Financial Group is owned by Mike and Carol Penica. And like me, they're retired. She's not retired military, but Mike and I retired from the Air Force. And we're just Main Street Americans, liking to help Main Street Americans with their financial prosperity.
Okay. So... like,
what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? Is that 401ks?
We can do that for small business owners. And okay. we like working with military or Main Street Americans, either one, just individuals. We don't have an account minimum. And we don't have you walk in and say, where's your account balance? You're not a good fit for us.
Okay.
For small business owners, we like to help them along their way to financial prosperity their employees, too.
I was going
to
say, so do you do people or you do individuals? Both. And you can set up
small business retirement plans.
Oh, no. Okay. Like what? Like the whole package? What do you...
We can do the whole package.
So what's the whole package? Let's talk about... So, you know, people...
Mike would get on me. Yeah. And so our process basically is like you guys. You try to figure out what people need help with. Right. So we get to know the needs of the person. And then we figure out the solutions. Before I jump to solutions, which we will talk about here, I always say we have to go through a process with the business owner and find out where the needs are. What solution will fit them the best?
Okay, do you want to use us as an example? We're a small business.
Sure.
Nonprofit, but still a small business.
We have no money.
And you have no money, no budget.
Exactly.
So
we do
understand
have a budget.
That.
We do have some income. We do have a, we do have sponsors.
Have employees.
Since we're a 501c, we don't really pay ourselves yet until
and that's
we,
great.
Until, yeah. Until we get
enough.
Enough, right. We got to get to that spot. So, and we do have, bills that we need to pay, which are not humongous. It's, web presence.
Buying tech
stuff.
Like this.
Yes.
Cool video cameras.
Yeah. Yes.
Cameras, lights.
Yes. And then also just our normal, having the website, having the the servers.
Well, I'd say for your company, until you're making some money and have enough revenue that you want to pay yourselves, you don't need a retirement plan for yourselves because retirement funding comes out of your paycheck.
Right.
Correct. Yep.
Right.
So...
But you're not just retirement funding, right? You're also just
401k. We can do
401k.
Cash management company, and 401k is retirement funding.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's a solution for,
It's
one of the three solutions that are easy for retirement companies. But let's use a different example.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's say a mom and
that
pop.
That wasn't a good example.
Well, it's not. You're not there yet. In a couple of years, you may be.
Yep.
Let's say a mom and pop store that has 5 or more employees.
Right.
And W-2 employees, and they're paying them, and they're making money, and that's great. In 2020, Governor Polis signed the Colorado Secure Savings Program into effect. And okay. that's going to mandate shops like the mom and pop shop.
Have to have something.
Have to have something for their employees. Yeah. Or they can pay a fine, go into the state-funded program or the state-run program.
Hmm. I have not even heard of this one yet.
That's why we're on here. I talked with Dennis about it and said, this is something that's coming. And I don't want to use this as a scare tactic. It's not a scare tactic for anyone because there's time. And 2022, they're still working out.
I don't remember voting on this, though.
When does that go in? Yeah, that's a whole other story. When does that go into effect?
It's in effect now? Use a southern term. I grew up in the South. They're fixing to get ready to roll it out.
Okay.
They're fixing to.
So the last quarter of this year, there'll be a trial enrollment period, and then 2023, it goes live.
Oh.
So it's happening,
but
it's not fast.
Oh, so this is very relevant then.
Sure.
So we have a lot of listeners who have startup companies, or they're just moving on to getting it going. So, okay, so what does that mean now?
Well, what the Colorado Secure Savings Program says is that either mom and pop offers their employees a retirement plan, and I'll talk about a couple in a minute. Again, I don't want to jump to solutions.
Right.
Sure. But we'll get there. So the mom and pop can either offer their employees a retirement plan through their own company, or they go through this Colorado Secure Savings Program, and you may have heard of a Roth IRA.
Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
What the Colorado Secure Savings Program is, it's big reveal, a Roth IRA. The company has to auto-enroll their employees in it. 5% of their paycheck goes into it automatically, unless they opt out.
Well, but as a Roth, you can only put in, what, $5,200?
$6,000 a year.
And
for old guys like me, another 1,000. 7,000 a year.
Sure. It depends on age, right?
Right. 50 or above. 50. Above 50.
But it's 5% of the...
of their paycheck.
Is taken out of their paycheck?
It's taken out of their paycheck.
It's on top of...
It's taken out of their paycheck. So it's just an auto-enrollment. Now, the good thing about auto-enrollment, if you do it in a 401k plan like you mentioned or something else, an auto-enrollment, most people don't opt out.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, about 6-1 from the Colorado Secure Savings stats that 6-1... people don't take the initiative to opt out.
Okay.
So if you make it opt in, people don't get around to doing it. They don't take care of their financial future. We're all about helping people take care of their financial future with Pinnacle Financial Group.
Right.
So there's different solutions they can do besides opting into something they could do on their own.
Oh, okay. Boy, I didn't know that was coming like that. Thank you. That was good.
Sure.
That's why you're here. All right, we can go home now. Thanks.
Hold on. Is that just small business or is that large business as well?
It's like 5 to 200 employees. So, I mean, I think your day job employers is a little bit bigger than that. You already have a 401k. You're not going to be affected.
Well, I guess, are you asking, do they have to do something too?
Yeah. So,
Bigger employees, they're already doing something 99%
of
the
time. So, if a small business, say, 100 employees or 50 employees, do they have to, what if they offer a 401k?
They're good. They're good. They offer
Other one, though, just forces them to give 5%, though.
They don't. Well, the employees give 5%. The employers don't give anything. You can't match anything in the
They're just setting you up
IRA.
With a
True.
Roth.
But I guess my point being is, as an employee, let's say, I don't know. I remember back when I was 20, 21 years old, right?
Last week?
I did not.
You didn't care.
I didn't care.
Many people don't.
I did, actually. I started my 401k day one.
Yeah, you're different.
A lot of people don't. My concern is that if a small business has to offer it, up to them, or do they automatically take the 5% out even if the employee doesn't want it that way?
In the Colorado Secure Savings Program, there will be an auto enrollment that they will automatically be enrolled, and therefore when their Roth IRA will start.
Yeah, you have to opt out.
You have to go in and click a button somewhere.
Otherwise, you will automatically be in.
And so you'll start missing 5% of your paycheck. And what they found in studies is that most people don't look at it enough and need, like you set it up. Did you miss the money after it came out of your paycheck?
No, and 5% is not much either, really.
It's not much. There'll be some, escalation problem, So the next year it could be 6, and next year it could be 7.
So does it matter what IRAs? It doesn't matter what? I mean, basically they have to talk to a financial advisor and set something up.
There will be, and I'm not sure if it's there yet, there will be a government, Colorado provider of choice. And I'm not sure they have that yet. I've listened to a couple of their online, Zoom calls. And I didn't see that yet. They have, they're planning. I have the timeline here. It's like,
we need to have Alan back on towards the end of the year.
Sure.
To kind of see where
it is
they are. Yeah. Because I think this is a big deal for startup companies particularly, but even, 75% of small businesses, I think, are 50 people and below. Right.
And
but does it affect the employer at all?
Well, it could. And this is where, the government can if you haven't set it up yourself, they can fine up to $100 per employee. Now will they? Oh, if you listen to the Zoom calls, probably not. But how are they going to fund it to get the money? I'm not sure how they'll do it.
I mean, if I was an employer, I would just do it because it doesn't cost me anything, and it would cost me if I didn't.
Unless it's a fine.
Yeah. Unless you start getting fines. Fine. Right. Yeah.
Well, but I'm sure there's a cost to setting it up, too.
And that's what I don't think they know yet. Like I said, the government's fixing to getting around to doing it, so they're working on it. But
I don't know. When I got my Roth IRA, it didn't cost anybody anything other than me.
There are always fees.
Well, there is always fees. But you didn't set it up for your company. I'm sure there could be a fee to be able to
There are fees for the company to set up a 401k.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm sure that there's fees that to force it out of somebody's paycheck. That has to be automated.
This is probably going to be the most listened to podcast we've ever done. We're going to get all this feedback about you guys were wrong, and we're going to pull us on. I'd like to talk to Dennis and Nate.
Yeah, they retired.
Talk to Alan.
They've had 401ks for a long time. They're just retired now.
Well, here's what I'd like to discuss, some of the solutions.
Yeah.
I mean, like you mentioned, there could be costs if there's fines.
Right.
There's three different types of retirement plans for small businesses and owners. And I'd say the smallest one for a mom and pop shop could be a SEP IRA. Okay. They can set it up on their own. Simplified Employee Pension.
Thank you.
Is the acronym. But people call it a SEP IRA. And it's an individual retirement account.
Okay.
And a SEP IRA is good for a mom and pop shop because they can treat each other the same. Or maybe two partners.
Right.
It's discretionary. They can put it in one year. They don't have to put it in the next. Has very high limits, much like a 401k limit. You can put a lot of money away.
Right.
Assuming you're making money, which the smalls isn't yet.
No.
So that's okay. So assumes you're making money, and it's good for that type of environment. But let's say the mom and pop bring their son in.
Right.
Like me, and is a slacker. Well, they have to put the same percentages in for all the employees. And so when you get to a large company and you have a lot of employees, you go, well, I've got to contribute the same amount to that sluggo son who's still living in my basement. So maybe the SEP IRA is not the best for more than mom and pop.
Yeah, okay.
So, and then graduating, perhaps the next one would be simple.
So hold on one second.
Sure.
So it's 5%?
No, that's not 5%. That one's just a SEP IRA, and they do a discretionary contribution from the company.
Okay.
It's discretionary contribution from the company.
Okay.
You can't take anything out of your paycheck. But if you guys run the smalls, you made money, you could
put money into
the SEP IRA.
So that may be something that we think about.
You could start that with you two when you start making enough money.
Is that a tax deferment for the company?
Yes,
then?
It's tax deferred. Okay. Well, the account is tax deferred, so the employee will pay tax later.
Right.
And it's like a
IRA.
It's an IRA.
All right.
So it's like a traditional IRA. But for the company, the money comes out and it's off the
So it's
your revenue. It's a write off.
It's a write off. Okay.
It's a write off against the revenue.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So instead of making, 1% profit, now you're making 0.5% profit or whatever.
Yeah, and you can figure out the math behind that. Sure, I'll help you if you want. I'll pull out my calculator. But yeah, that's how a SEP IRA can work, and it can be a good fit. So that's a solution for some people. Again, we go through a process.
Right.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So the simple IRA stands for Savings Incentive Match Plan for Employees.
SIMPL. I'll just write down simple.
That's fine. Simple. And it is simple, and I think the IRS and the legislatures made it because it is simple.
Okay.
And to me, it's a good middle ground. Once the mom and pop go five or more, they could open up a simple. You don't have to have five, but you could open up for your five employees. And there's a couple ways to do it. You can design it so that you match what the employee puts in. So the employee defers, and it is a tax deferred. There's no Roth option here. They're going to pay tax when it comes out. But the employer can match up to 3%, and that's pretty cheap. I mean, if someone's making $30,000, they put in 3%, the employer puts in $900.
Yeah.
Is it up to 3%?
No, the employer will match 3%. That's the highest they have to match.
Okay.
If they want to match that. So a simple IRA can be a pretty good fit for small businesses. And it's, again, the IRA stands for individual retirement accounts. So there's very little fees for the employer to set up, because the fees come out of the employee's account usually.
Okay.
There's ways to set it up.
Okay.
And again, we can tailor a little bit. There's ways to, if a company just wants to be generous with everyone, including their son in the basement, like the sluggo son in the basement, they say, we're not going to match 3% if you put it in. We'll put in 2% for everybody. We're going to be generous. And the 2% auto contribution, the employee doesn't have to put in anything.
Right.
to get that 2%.
Do they have to do a percentage, or can a company just say, I'm putting in $100 a month for each employee?
The employee can choose an amount like that, but the employer has to match in a percentage or up to a percentage. And so if, let's say you put in $100 a month, and that's below the 3%, the employer would match the $100.
Okay.
They can match if it's...
But that's the max that an employer can match? Let's say I'm very generous and I want to match 50%.
3%.
3%.
It says right there. 3%.
I don't have that in front of me.
I didn't bring two.
I'm making eye contact.
I'm looking at it, too. I'm reading the sheet.
You can slide that over there, too.
See, I don't have glasses. I've got better eyesight, so I can see it from there.
That's good. So 3% is the max they can match.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, here's the... To me, it's a good feature. Let's say the Sluggo son in the basement again. I keep using myself as a Sluggo son in the basement.
If you I still don't put anything in the basement,
I'm beginning to wonder here.
We haven't got
my mom's back in
life.
Georgia, so no.
He's like, somebody hired me so I can get out of my parents' basement.
This was funny though. On my high school reunion a couple years ago, I visited, and you know, I just happened to be in town, so I said, "Hey, mom, I'm going to visit and go to my high school reunion." She goes, "Okay, great." So I borrowed my mom's car. I was still staying with my mom, and the pretty girl still wouldn't dance with me, but mostly I think because I was married.
Oh, there you go. That's probably good.
That's what I'm thinking.
Was the pretty girl your wife with you? Or?
She was not. She was overseas when I was stationed here in Germany.
Did they actually have a dance at your high school reunion? I think my wife's high school reunion had a dance.
It was. They had music, and people got on a dance floor, but I don't know if you'd call it a dance.
Yeah. Well, you know how we dance anyway.
The men on the side,
women
on the
side. In America. I'm not
sure you qualified as dancing, but so I'm not in my mom's basement, but... If the small business employees don't put skin in the game, then there's nothing to match
right.
for the 3%. So that's right. a good deal for the employer.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I have this plan. Like, it's not cost me anything except for the employers.
I guess it also, it's weird. I hate saying this, but it depends on the age of your workforce too.
It does.
Like I said, there's so many people that I knew in their 20s and even their 30s
didn't
put money away. Thankfully, like I said, I literally day one when I started my first job, now, I wasn't maxing out my 401k.
But you're contributing. Means,
but I was contributing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, here's where, if they had set this up through a financial advisor like us, we would try to go in there and we'd talk to young Nate, young Dennis.
You'll come in and talk to the employees.
That's what we want to do. We want to develop a relationship with them, explain why, and say, hey, look at this. You want to get free money?
Compound interest in 20, 30 years, right?
And I think as a guy that was at Will Rogers, we can see the Will Rogers Shrine of the Sun out the beautiful window. He said the best way to double your money is to fold it in half, stick it back in your wallet.
Yes.
But the second best way is to put your money in and get the employer match.
Right, right.
It's free money.
As much as you can, too, right? Because it's free money, yes.
Yeah.
Well, sort of free.
Now, is that...
Is it really free?
Well, so is that... And I hire people like you to help me because I don't have the time nor the desire really to learn too much into it. But I am curious about... because we just found out a couple weeks ago that as DOD contractors, we cannot invest into anything that is like illegal substances.
You have limits because the federal law still applies.
Yeah, exactly. So,
talking about like marijuana.
Yeah.
Stuff
so, like 401ks or these other IRAs, how are they invested in the background? Do the employer ever get to know that?
You get choices, and that's where again we go through the process with the employer, who's signing the paperwork initially to open the accounts.
So that would be a good thing, I think, for a lot of people that they don't understand right now because I didn't know either, right? I had to call my financial advisor myself and say, hey, make sure I'm not invested in anything to do with marijuana, CBD oil, none of that, because I can't.
Well, if you're talking about like some really big fund, you may never know what really little, I mean, they're supposed to tell you, but I don't know if anybody ever really tracks all the way down to that.
The fund managers do.
Yeah.
They should. They should be able to.
Well, if you ask them to, you're paying them to manage your account. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. You say, I need to be out of these. And
But most of the
I'll be calling Alan.
CBD kind of companies, I don't know, maybe they are in the...
Most of them probably are not in the... Yet. In that, yeah, because they...
I just remember taking my last security course. They said, make sure that you are not putting funds or supporting that.
I remember seeing that. I'm like, I ain't going to be in there because... I guess I should look. It's the number. It's their number one.
They're making so much money.
Their compliance issue. It depends on what the regulators want to look at this year.
Yeah,
Dennis, don't look too far in. You might have to work an extra 20 years to make up for that if they pull back out.
My whole 401k is gone. All right, so let's talk about 401k. That was the third option.
Sure, the 401k is the third option.
Speaking of 401ks,
you've had one. I didn't have one when I was in the military, but I had the thrift savings plan, which is similar.
Well, I was going to say that is technically kind of a 401k,
right? It's like a 401k.
Yeah.
So very similar.
Yeah.
In fact, you can roll from a thrift savings plan into a 401k if you had that. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, no, I did not know that.
Many of them allow that. And it's for, and that's where 401ks have the broadest menu of options.
Okay.
You can design them with an employer match.
Right.
You can design them without the employer match. You can design them with the Roth option for the employee contributions.
Right.
You can design them, well, the employer's contribution always has to go into traditional 401k. It'll be tax deferred. But
okay.
And this is one of those situations where, you know, Solomon talked about splitting the baby back in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. And you can split the baby in your own 401k if you have a Roth option. You can say, hey, send the company into the traditional, which they're going to go anyway, and you can put yours into a Roth and pay tax on it now and not pay tax again.
Right, right.
So 401ks have a lot of options. That's, again, where we'd have to go through the process with the business owner and say, okay, how much do you want to contribute, or if anything, what types do you want to design? Do you want to have a loan option for that or not?
Well, and then the other piece, I really like what you're talking about, is then get with the employees to see kind of what's best for them. And I will tell you that we don't really do that too much. We just say, hey, here's your options.
And go click a button.
Know. Yeah.
Go click a button.
You're supposed to go through their online demo of, you know, all these little questions and literally.
Well, or like for me, well, what age bracket are you in? Pick the, you know, if you're close to retirement, pick option C because it's the, you know, most aggressive or whatever.
Least aggressive.
Or the most age appropriate.
Yeah. And
most of those, if you talk with a financial advisor, says, Dennis, do you have a military retirement?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? And I do. Yeah. And so my military retirement, to me, it provides a constant income stream. So I don't need to look
at
the...
a little more aggressive on...
Yeah, it can be, because the rule of thumb is only good as your thumb, maybe.
Yeah,
the rule
I literally just had a conversation with my financial advisor maybe a month ago, and same thing. I said, look, I want you to look into all of my accounts. So I've rolled over multiple 401ks into my IRA with them. But then with this new... with working here at the new company, I have made sure that I asked the financial advisor, instead of just me choosing, because I did it right away, because you have to set something up.
Right.
I'm like... so what should I do? And he's like, no, don't do any of those
age appropriate
ones. Like literally, we're going to go through and pick based on what is happening
now,
right now.
Now you make, now see, I got to go through this whole thing.
You should do that too. You should do that too. And I'm not looking for another client, Dennis.
Well,
you may have a financial advisor.
I probably need another client. You probably need me as a client. I need some help. I do. I need some help. So we'll get there.
But that's where we'd like, if we set up a 401k with a company, and I don't want to bash, you know, any other companies, a payroll company that could set it up. And
right.
If you call the payroll company, though, they're going to say, here's your 1-800 who cares number.
Right, right.
Click the button online, and you don't get individualized advice.
Yeah, yeah.
If for our 401ks that we set up through Pinnacle Financial Group, we are the financial advisor on that account, and we'd love to talk to the individuals in the account.
Now, do you have I'm assuming you guys have like a portfolio you typically work with, different vendors or
We do. I work through a broker-dealer called J.W. Cole, and they have allowed providers or approved. So we have to work with our approved ones. But being a broker-dealer and insurance, we have brokerage. We can do brokerage, too. We're not tied to one specific provider in insurance or...
The important part, do you send out a box of chocolates for everybody's birthday?
We send a birthday card.
Your birthday's a birthday card. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, we're leaving that one alone. So this is the investment side, I guess I would call that. And you just talked about insurance. Do you do that as well?
We do that. We do wealth management and tagline on there, wealth management for a changing world. So what we'd like to do is the planning part. And we'll say, you know, Nate or Dennis, sit down with us, bring in what you have. Where do you want to get to? And we'll try to look at it and come up with a complementary financial strategy for our clients.
Do you help the clients get to what is it you really need to get to? Because that's another big thing out there, right? Well, how much do you need? Well, I need millions. Okay,
X amount times what does X mean?
More is better, right? I mean, but
usually, but sometimes someone may put so much in that they're not enjoying their life now, and it's like, well, you're, you know, between 8 and 13 times your salary could be a rule of thumb again,
right?
But if you're putting in 15 times your salary and you say, oh, I can't buy that, you know, Starbucks I wanted once a month.
Right.
Well, maybe you can splurge and afford it twice a month after we do the financial strategy for you.
Right, right.
You know what? Funny you bring that up, but Starbucks is like the cheapest place now. It's kind of weird. I don't know how that happened. These small businesses.
Oh, like if you go to like
So Dennis and I have been traveling a lot for our day jobs. And we're like, hey, you know, we love sitting at little mom shops. They're awesome, right? Just we can work from there. We can do whatever, free Wi-Fi.
Right.
But, you know, I once thought that, you know, $5.68 for a cup of coffee was high. You go to these mom-and-pop shops, it's like $7,
$8.
I'm like, what just happened?
We visited our son in Chicago like that and went to, he took us a couple of boutique roasteries. And
yeah. Well, I just bought some takeout pizzas yesterday for, we said goodbye to one of our employees, and $20 a pizza. And I'm like, get out of town.
Should we say the brand?
No.
Don't bash him on here.
It's not like a gourmet pizza either.
It was good, but
it's
still.
Good pizza. I never said it wasn't good. Yeah. I'm just saying, I mean.
$20 a pizza. I was like, holy cow, man. Yeah, it's all starting to go. Anyways, so probably need to take a break, and then we'll come back.
We can do that. I don't know how it's going to work with the video, but I'll figure that out later.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We haven't done a break on video.
Well, we'll take a break real quick.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
The Department of Defense has gotten very serious about cybersecurity. The DoD just passed a new mandate called the CMMC that all government contractors must adhere to. In the near future, you will not be able to do business with the Department of Defense unless your company follows the CMMC protocol. Devil Dog Cybersecurity partners with government contractors to create and implement robust cybersecurity solutions that meet the DoD requirements. Our team of engineers have a large depth of knowledge in the CMMC and the NIST 800-171. Solutions can be implemented in as little as 30 to 90 days, depending on the size and scope of the project. Best of all, DevilDog has an affordable pricing structure specifically designed for small to medium-sized businesses. The big question is your firm ready for a CMMC audit? Contact DevilDog Cybersecurity and receive a free vulnerability assessment with no obligation. Register for your free assessment at devildogcyber.com. DevilDog is here to make cybersecurity compliance affordable, fast, and painless for your company. DevilDog Cybersecurity is one of the few companies designated as a registered provider organization by the CMMC accreditation body. This means our solutions adhere to the complex standards and requirements of the CMMC board. Register for your free assessment at devildogcyber.com. DevilDog is here to make cybersecurity compliance affordable, fast, and painless for your company.
Welcome back to this week's Smalls Cast podcast. This week we have Alan Bridges here. He's here with Penica Financial
Group.
Okay. And you actually, I didn't even know your title. It's financial advisor.
Financial advisor.
Senior financial advisor.
No,
you own the company.
No, Mike and Carol Penica.
You wore a name. Wore a name tag today for us just to help you out.
But it doesn't say if it's CEO or president or guru. I'm just,
you can call me an independent financial advisor, but since I work with Mike and Carol, I'll also call myself a dependent financial advisor.
There you go.
There you go.
So how do you, I wanted to switch gears slightly. This has been very good. And I highly encourage anyone who's got a small business in Colorado, particularly government contractors, to get a hold of Alan. And we'll post his contact information as part of this podcast on our website so you can get a hold of him. Because I think, as we mentioned, once the government really goes to this, you're going to have to do this one way or the other, likely. But also, it's a good overall thing to do. So, again, think about that. And as you're listening to this, reach out to Alan. I did want to shift gears slightly to you.
Sure.
So how did you get in? So you're retired Air Force, I'm guessing.
Retired Air Force, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So what did you do in the Air Force?
I flew choppers, and in fact,
Air Force guy. A real Army wannabe. You didn't tell Greg, our producer here, that you're a helicopter guy.
No, but I flew guys like one of your former podcast guests, Otis McGregor, and I worked together in Special Ops Command Europe.
Oh.
Nice.
So planning and so.
So he has listened to our podcast. Tribe and purpose.
He has.
Hey, don't want to walk in cold. Don't want to walk in too
cold. Most people do.
Well, it's chilly outside, but it shouldn't be that cold in here.
Speaking of cold, we should tell people if they come and do podcasting on, now that we're on video.
Online.
We should probably tell them on Fridays. It's
Aloha Friday.
Casual Friday.
It's Aloha Friday.
So I feel really underdressed right now sitting next to somebody that's
He did.
I wore, my little brown jeans today because that's jeans Friday for us too. So I did.
So,
but from the military, I enjoyed investing through my careers, working with a financial advisor here and there. I went to the airlines. I flew for SkyWest Airlines most recently, here out of Colorado Springs flying Canada regional jets. So a chopper guy going to fixed wing.
Yeah, that's
so
different.
Do you know? Oh, we'll talk about it afterwards. My next door neighbor.
I think we talked that
Marine guy became Army guy.
I think we talked about it a little bit.
Are you one of those pilots that used the then if you because if you're going from chopper to fixed wing, you used your pedos a lot, didn't you? Kind of like slide the plane around instead of like.
You'd have to ask my first officers about that. I don't recall doing that. But actually,
I've flown a lot out of Colorado Springs, and you literally can tell, especially a pilot that's just getting into it, who is using because that's what a helicopter really does, right? You use your pedals, and instead of like banking, you're like, just, I'm going to get hate mail sliding. On this one, but sliding.
Sliding.
It's the best I can explain.
Well, they're slipping and skidding.
What's that called? Drifting.
Slipping and skidding. Drifting from Tokyo Drift or something from the movie. So.
My favorite pilots, though, are the ones that were ex-fighter pilots. Because they treat these 737s like it's a fighter jet. They try to see how quickly they get that sucker out in the air. And I'm like, yeah, I like this guy or gal, whatever it is.
Well, I did enjoy flying the Canada regional jets, but I just got tired of the travel and said, well, heck, I've had a good run. I'm going to stick around Colorado Springs and sink in some roots and learn the community and do what I enjoyed. I've enjoyed investing through the years and enjoyed learning about it more with this job. And Mike and Carol Penneker are great mentors.
Right. Oh, cool. So that's a good story. That's a good story. And then, so I have my little questions here I like to ask. So, so as you've gone into this field now, what's your biggest challenge? Because you're a small business, right?
Yeah, I am. So I'm a small business.
What's your biggest challenge?
Learning networking, sinking roots networking. Into town is it's been interesting and educational for me.
So you're not from here either, right? Is this your last? So you it's my last assignment.
Well, my last assignment was in Florida. I moved out here for SkyWest.
Oh.
And so I was commuting back to Florida. My wife, she became a physical therapist assistant. And
so I think you really need to attend all of our networking events.
Yes.
Definitely.
There's 602 members now.
February 3rd. There's actually January 27th in Centennial.
That's cool. But I may not hike up there. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the weather's like, too.
Yeah. And I've enjoyed representing Mike and Carol Penneker at the Chamber. That's how I met Dennis.
Right.
Chamber of Commerce. I'm a chamber ambassador with them. So I'm enjoying getting out in the town and learning more about people. Yesterday I was at a groundbreaking ceremony. It was kind of cold yesterday. I'm not sure if they could actually break the permafrost.
Yeah.
It's not that cold here.
No.
Networking for this is really how we started with networking. And I didn't realize how important it really was. And I've been kind of noticing online, there's a lot of discussions about it now because people are working remote. The other thing is post-COVID now, everybody really is hungry to get back together again. Yep. It's an interesting phenomenon happening. And then, you know, with everybody working from home, it's even exacerbated a little more, I think, where people are like, I just want to get out of the house and go see everybody.
Yeah, let me
you know what I mean?
Just get out.
Yeah, so that's been an interesting phenomenon occurring.
It has
right
been,
now.
Too, for our another group I've worked with as a volunteer is the Colorado Mountain Club. For the folks who want to get outdoors and do it safely, sign up at cmc.org and take a class or go on
a hike. Is that their headquarters based out of
Golden?
Golden, It is.
The American Mountaineering Center. It's awesome.
cmc.org?
And you're like, how the hell does he know
that? cmc.org, because you've been to Golden.
Yes. My son went to mine, so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, that's a cool school. That's a cool school.
His kids aren't in school yet.
That's all right.
They're in school. They're not in college yet.
So I like the freedom that this job gives me to come in here. I don't have to be in an office in a cubicle at 7:30 with a headset on.
Well, so if somebody wants to get into financial management, and I know a lot of people go through, you know, typically people get degrees in finance or accounting or whatever, and then they don't typically go to financial advisor roles. They typically go to companies and become
accountants
or whatever. Yeah. Right. So how do people get into your functional area, besides talking to you, right?
But I think they need to want to help people, you know, get their financial, you know, journey started or steered direct towards. So I think that's a good thing because financial advisors are fiduciaries.
Right.
So I like to be a fiduciary and I'm treating your money like I treat mine.
Right.
You know, I look out at yours and say, it's not the best, you know, return for me if I recommend this one, but that's the best for you. So that's the one I need to recommend.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So we try to get, you know, the people where they want to go. And there are courses you have to take and pass some licenses. So those are interesting and educational,
and there's,
too.
Well, and there's state and federal, right?
Yes. Yeah. So,
Is that hard?
Well,
I've never spoken really to a financial advisor about what they had to do. And so is that hard?
Well, I went to a little school up on the hill, Air Force Academy, and they try to teach you to study. So I passed my test the first time, but I know some people who don't.
Yeah.
I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, is it like, I don't know, I took the CISSP test a couple of years ago now, and it hurt my head. You know, stump the chump kind of thing.
I call this educational, and some of the test questions you wonder, and you leave the test going, did I pass? And then you click and you get the results.
So it's the same kind of test.
Any government test.
All those certificate programs are like that.
I think so, too. Yeah. You always wonder.
I always call them stump the chump. I'm like, really? Can't you just ask me, what is this? And then you know what that is.
Instead of giving me a whole scenario or something.
Yeah, or what's the best answer? All four are good, but what's the best answer?
Yeah, I've got a 12-year-old son. He's my oldest son. And I've got, he's studying for his ham test right now, his amateur radio exam. So we're taking all the scouts up to Alaska next year for a 2-week trip.
Awesome.
So we're forcing every single scout that wants to go, they must be ham operators so they can all have ham radios on them when we're up in Alaska in case that's somebody gets separated or something like that. So, but that's same thing.
It's test.
400 questions.
What?
That you have to go through and understand. But the test is only like 30 questions.
It's
but
not,
they're all very,
it's
here's
not,
a scenario.
Yeah,
here's a,
it's not, hey, can you turn the radio on? Can you find the channel?
Well,
can you talk
so
on
I
it?
Was, I'm in the middle of wanting to try to get my Part 107. So my
for
FAA,
UAVs.
For UAVs.
Part unmanned aerial vehicles.
Yes. Flying drones.
We throw a lot
so
of
I can do photography and stuff like that. But the test for it, I've it's literally 5 inches thick for the study. It's FAA.
Yeah.
And you have to study the entire, it's the exact same pilot stuff that you studied. And I'm like, why do I need no comms to fly a drone?
You're in the same airspace as people who have comms.
Yeah,
that's the FAA's perspective.
But I don't have comms to talk back to them saying, hey, get your drone out of my way.
I understand that.
Well, that's not quite true because you are supposed to have a way for them.
No.
To, hold on a second. When you file your flight path, and then if there's planes in your space, you're supposed to be able to call the local tower or whatever.
File a flight path for drones.
You can. So I just did some work
big,
up in Denver.
Big, humongous drones,
no,
yes.
No.
Okay, we'll talk later.
I just did surveys with a company,
yeah,
client.
And those are big commercial drones.
No. It was a little DJI.
Okay.
And we were filming the intersection, all the landscaping.
Landscaping.
And they were doing a survey of all the landscaping because they spent like millions of dollars.
They want to get a good
and they
want to
see how it's looking. Well, a lot of it was dead. But so they were flying over, and it was right next to the flight path of Centennial Airport. And so they actually had comms with...
That could be different then. But
yeah. See?
For the
certain airspace.
Anyway, I don't know how we got on this.
I don't know.
We're talking about tests.
Alan, so how do people get started with...
Squirrel.
So either personal or a company, how do they get a hold of you? How do they...
Well, for us at Pinnacle Financial Group, they can call 719-572-0447. They'll talk to Brandy, our licensed assistant, and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you about...
are they local?
We're local. We're right over there on that hill.
Oh.
Yeah,
Pinnacle
Financial Group.
I guess we should ask that.
But that's okay. It's down near the Broadmoor Country Club.
Nice.
Broadmoor Valley Road.
So they're here.
We're here.
So the company's here.
And that's why
that's even better.
It is. And he sponsors the Chamber of Memberships for me to be an ambassador.
Right.
And he sponsors a lot of events, too.
Nice.
Philanthropists, so they support that.
Okay. That's really cool.
So you're not only are you local, the company's local,
yes.
Which is also very important.
Absolutely. So
what about you guys have a website, I'm assuming?
Yes. I have to look up, I don't have it memorized. If you look Pinnacle Financial Group. Pinnacle Financial Group.
We put him on the spot. Good.
I hope you got a 401k too, because the boss man be like, dude, you don't know.
PinnacleFinancialGroup.com. Find that. So, but yeah, it's
Google. Google. Yeah. Ask the Google.
And yeah, it's on my business card, but I'm not going
to
pull it out here.
It's okay. So. You don't have to do that. So do you guys, Colorado Springs, obviously, do you do the whole state? What's your region?
We can work with people in many states. I'm opening up a plan for a company in Montana.
Okay.
Okay. So we are the Rocky Mountain region we're focusing on. So Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Utah.
New Mexico.
We can work with them. In
Utah.
New
Mexico. New
Mexico. Arizona down there or not?
Less. We haven't really. Yeah.
Well, that's we're fine. Worldwide, really.
Yeah, right we're now. Global.
With this,
global.
And that's how we can work with people too, virtually.
Okay.
Okay. That's good to know. So I noticed. I thought I saw somewhere you had states listed somewhere.
I did. Because that's other states that have already created a plan, like the Colorado Secure Savings Program.
Okay.
In 2020, when they started, we were the seventh state to mandate this, and now looked it up, and there's 14 states that have this type of
plan. So that's not you. That's the kind of the secure savings program that we're implementing. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. So go ahead.
How did they get started, the secure savings programs in these states? Was it the
governor's? I'm not sure which one first.
Or is it federal that push it down?
No, neither one. I think this was started at the grassroots level, and some state representatives said, we need to help our employees. And they've done some studies. And you know, I didn't bring the paper in. I'll drop you one off if you care.
We always find interesting.
Financial stuff's important, right?
Sure. I'll send you the one pager that has some references on the back from the legislation. It talks about, you know, how many people opt out versus how many people opt in.
We've been talking about small businesses because obviously that's our kind of forte here. And then now you also do personal.
We do
stuff in the whole gamut too, right?
We do.
Talked a little bit about that.
You know, whether it's investment. For retirement, investment to help just manage your cash, perhaps. Or if the small business owner needs insurance, we can do that too.
Okay. And then individuals, obviously.
Individuals, yes.
Okay.
Individuals can do that. We can work with them.
So even if your company doesn't use you guys, anybody listening to this can call you up at 719-572-0447 and talk with Brandy.
Yes, and say, hey, let's talk with Alan, set up an appointment.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Life skills.
So mine?
Having done this now. Yeah, well, so I find
what do I need?
No, both. But are there tools that you have found to be very useful, like for your daily, because since you are working from home, you're an independent person doing stuff. Is there a tool that you've used now that's been like, God, this has been the best thing ever?
I'm not sure the best thing ever. It's the bane of our existence is Zoom.
I
have a Zoom account. Woohoo. Okay. I have a Calendly account.
A what?
Calendly. Calendly.
What is that?
Calendly. So
Calendly.com.
So like if you want to get an appointment with him, he can just send me a link and I go there click and on it shows it. Me his calendar.
And then it interfaces with mine. You see when mine is available, you click on it and it's auto, since it's Zoom and phone call.
They're tied.
Those are the default for that. And say, hey, you want a phone call or you want a Zoom? And then on my little note, I say, hey, if you want to meet, put it in the comment section. Tell me where you want to meet. Coffee shops around town.
They actually defaulted to just two remote options?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did.
So you can
I just showed that. I just set up and I just haven't gotten around to changing it. Just say, here's my favorite location.
Calendly.
Calendly.com.
/Alan Bridges.
You'll find me.
There you go.
Well, there you go. Well, I always, you know, business people, we all have these like things. Like Nate likes his little.
Remarkable. I'm using his name brand. Sorry. But that's what it is.
It is. That is what it is.
Why?
Most people don't know.
Well, because number one, they're not sold here. You can't buy them in a store, right? You got to go online to find them. But
that's his.
It's a useful tool, though.
It's a tool that can.
Yeah.
What about a financial tool? Do you guys have one? Do you guys have one you recommend? Do you not use?
Don't have one.
Excel.
I don't use Excel. I use other ones that are more purpose built to create a financial strategy.
Is a book. And then a TI 83 plus, so you got all your financial equations right there. In there for you.
Pencil and paper.
That's right.
No, an HP.
I don't know if I teach that in school
anymore. HP 11C.
No reverse Polish notation stuff.
Oh. The value of compound interest.
That's coming from an engineer. My brain just cannot work the 3 enter 3 enter plus enter. What? Makes no sense.
It does. Apparently it did when you did large computations, but I don't know. I never had.
I never did that either. But I use financial software to crunch a financial strategy for someone.
Right.
I don't want to just use an Excel spreadsheet and get the formula wrong.
Right. No, I'm just curious. Like I said, I don't use one. I use Excel spreadsheet for myself to track things, but I don't, you know, use any tools. So I'm always curious. And I'm always curious just life skills, right? Like what do people use to kind of manage their day and do things with? And what's a cool tool? Is this something I look at? Because I get ads all the time for all these different like project management tools. I'm like, my God, what's really the difference between them, right? They're all kind of the same.
I've shown you this tool for the last year now.
No, that is okay.
You have something bought when you still use paper.
I do use paper because that electronics, just like we found out last night, electronics are going to crash sooner or later.
That's why that gives me a break, too.
It's not if, it's when.
That is true.
So I always know that the only thing that's going to go wrong is my pen, and I got a whole bag of them, so I'm never.
It's good to have a backup either way.
There you go.
Yeah.
Backups are good.
Yeah. So, okay. So, Alan, back to the, is there any other things you want to tell either individuals or small businesses kind of that we haven't talked about?
Well, I'll just go back to the Colorado Secure Savings Plan. Use this as a call to action. You can take some time to get one of these set up.
Right.
And when you get the letter in the mail next January, it says you have 90 days to comply.
Yeah.
We can do it in 90 days, but why wait? Why not reward your employees this year? Yeah. Why not help yourself this year?
Right.
So,
well, at least plan for it, right?
Sure.
Prior planning prevents piss poor performance, right?
Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah. I said, psst.
That's okay.
You have to blurt
it. He's going to blurp it out.
Yeah.
No, I don't have to do that. What, are you kidding me?
It's 21st century. We don't
do
that.
Yeah,
it's really. They drop F-bombs on, like, kids shows nowadays. I swear, it's horrible.
We shouldn't follow that example.
No, though. We should not.
It's great when Scooby-Doo did it. I'm just kidding.
I think out of all 200 episodes we've done so far, I think I've had to use the bleep button twice.
It's probably us.
And use the explicit checkbox when I upload, too. So it was us.
Was it?
But that's okay.
No, I just want to say thanks for having me on the show, guys.
No, this was great.
It's been fun.
Yeah,
it's
been fun. And see, Alan, we have to talk afterwards, too. We got to talk about a few things.
Sure.
So, again, if you guys are out there in listening land and now visual land, if you want to talk to Alan, please reach out. We'll have his information on the website. And his phone number was
719-572-0447.
Or look up Penica Financial Group online and reach out to Alan. And
we'll tag all of this
The
online versions of all of this. We'll put links directly to your guys' site.
Or get a hold of us at the Smalls. And I personally know Alan.
What's our website?
www.thesmalls.org.
Thesmalls.org.
That's correct.
You can always get a hold of me at justnate@thesmalls.org as well as for an email address. Or smallscolorado@thesmalls.org.
Yes.
So.
And, before we go, we have two events coming up.
January 27th.
January 27th in Centennial at the View House.
What time?
5:30 to 7:30, I think, is the time.
All of it's on our website.
And February 3rd at the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce, which is downtown Colorado Springs, from 4 to 6 p.m.
Excellent.
And I guess Alan will be there, so you can meet him live and in person.
I think it's great that you're collaborating with the chamber as a collaborative unit in the Smalls. That's cool.
Yep.
So thanks.
Yep. So thank you very much, Alan, for being here today.
Thanks for
coming with. Have a great
day. Very good information. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
This is Just Nate, signing off.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Cast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.